Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Do you have, or think you might have, diabetes? Let's go in depth with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. Debbie, you're a dietitian and you work with people that are pre-diabetic and diabetic?
Correct.
What is pre-diabetes?
So pre-diabetes is when your blood sugar is elevated but not high enough to get diabetes. So if you specifically would look at the numbers, a lot of people go to health fairs and get fasting blood sugars tested, and 126 gives us diabetes, over 100 to 125 gives us prediabetes. So that's kind of where the numbers lay.
And so that's at that critical point where maybe we can do something about not getting diabetes?
Yes, definitely. That's a time when your body is progressing to diabetes if you don't make some changes. So the biggest change that helps most people is activity and weight loss. So if you're pretty sedentary or you only walk 10 or 15 minutes a day, if you could get up to walking 30 minutes a day, and then if we could help you lose a little bit of weight, not zillions of pounds, but 5 to 10%. Will really help. And for a lot of people, when they come and see me in the pre-diabetes class, something changed. They gained 10 pounds because they had back surgery or they started a sedentary job. So if they could get back into that lifestyle they had before, it can really help reverse it.
And so are there any other indications we should look for? Any symptoms?
No, typically it's just a lab draw. You might be a little lethargic, but I think all of us nowadays, as we get into winter and darker months, are tired anyways. So
just come in and get tested.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be part of everybody's annual physical.
Correct.
Can you give me some clues about diet? I guess we all pretty much know them. No potato chips, not too much pizza.
A lot of it is portion size. So if we could look at a plate, and this kind of years ago replaced the food guide pyramid, half of it we'd like to be veggies. And maybe start your meal by eating your veggies. And these are things that aren't corn, peas, and potatoes. So we're talking about your broccoli, asparagus, your lettuce salad. These things are not going to put weight on us. They're not going to raise our blood sugar, have a lot of great vitamins and minerals. And then for starchy things, we probably don't want to have more than the size of our fist. That's a good gauge. Or the size, most of us know what the size of a mouse looks like. The size of a mouse. So getting back into portions that are smaller will really help prevent.
Yes, portions the size of a mouse.
Yeah.
Most of us would lose some weight.
Yes, and mouse, not the ones that crawl, but the ones we use for computers.
Oh, I was thinking the ones that were crawling. Okay. All right. So I'm looking at my fist and it's smaller than a baked potato.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bigger than a mouse.
Yes. So if you could keep your potato to about the size of your fist, maybe cut that potato into a half and eat half at one meal and half at the other. It's really small changes with prediabetes that can go a long way.
And so vegetables.
Yes. And then lean meats. So we're looking at things, fish, chicken, lean cuts of poultry, lean ground beef would be the next thing that we would want to add to our plate and eat. And then kind of the starches and the desserts later. You know, kind of eat the meat and veggies first, kind of fill up on those so you don't want as much of your baked potato or your pasta.
I try to get in 10,000 steps a day.
That's excellent.
Is that good?
Excellent. And a lot of people don't get that many. So for you, if you had prediabetes, we would maybe say get in 15,000. But a pedometer is a great way to figure out what you're doing right now and then try to increase it to get more activity.
It's right on my cell phone. It's easy.
Yes, exactly.
Any other advice for people that might be pre-diabetic?
We do have a complimentary class that we run here in Pella and in Ottumwa once a month. And the dates, I won't go through them. They're on our website. But Pella Regional is really committed to prevention. So they've waived. There used to be a nominal fee associated with this, and it's now free. So I would say if you have diabetes in your family or if you're at risk, this would be a great opportunity to, you know, it's only about an hour and a half class to come and learn some things, ask very specific questions, because we obviously can't go over all that right now in 5 minutes. So,
more in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. So what about people with diabetes that already have it?
So if you already have diabetes, similar things that if you, first of all, you want to make sure you're following up routinely with your primary care. I think especially it's important for people who've had diabetes a while because so many medications have changed. There's new drugs that can help that we didn't have even five years ago. But then lifestyle also plays a major part into it. So increasing your activity, really watching what you're putting into your body and limiting some of those simple sugars that really raise your blood sugar. When we're talking simple sugars, one of the things I always think of is regular pop, large quantities of fruit juice, some of those cakes, pies, and pastries. All of these things, I would say, are sometimes foods. We don't need to eliminate them completely, but we probably shouldn't be consuming them every day if we have diabetes.
Okay, and diabetes, can it kill you?
Definitely. I always tell people well-controlled blood sugars cause nothing. So if your blood sugars are elevated and stay elevated, that's when we start to see the complications. And if those complications keep progressing, they could lead to death eventually. But I think the positive things, and I don't want to scare people, is that if you take your diabetes diagnosis seriously, work with your primary care provider and you help figure out what the right medication is, work on your lifestyle changes. As long as those blood sugars are well controlled, it's not going to cause any of those complications.
And what's the difference between type 1 and type 2?
So type 1 is where your body does not produce any insulin. You have to daily give yourself injections of insulin to process the food or carbohydrate you eat. Some people do that via an insulin pump, some people do it via insulin pens or syringes. Type 2 diabetes, your body still makes insulin, it still kind of uses it, but it doesn't work as well. I always say it's kind of broken. So we need other medications that may or may not be a medication we inject. It may be an oral pill or an injectable, and then lifestyle changes to help kind of help our body process and use the insulin.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. And juvenile diabetes, what's that?
So we used to call type 1 juvenile, but now we'll see people that are in their 90s and get diagnosed with type 1. So we really have gotten away from the juvenile label. But type 1 is typically seen in younger individuals, probably under age 40, but not always. So we just want to specify type 1 means that you don't produce insulin. Type 2 means that you produce it, but it maybe doesn't work as well.
Boy, it's going to be hard for me to forget about juvenile diabetes.
Yes. And, you know, if you use that term, people probably understand what you mean, but if you can try to transition to saying type 1.
Well, because the word juvenile in front of it makes me want to, I don't know, care more or something. It makes me really think, oh, we've got to help the kids. And there's been different programs to help that for the kids. But so that's all by the wayside.
There's still a lot of programs, camps, and, you know, things that help people with type 1. But we just got to remember, you know, if a kiddo got diagnosed with type 1, we want to help them grow into a successful adult and maintain, you know, good control.
And so what we want to do is mom and dads and grandpas and grandmas, we want to get the kids eating right at the beginning so then we don't have to do the big lifestyle change somewhere along the way.
Yes. You know, I think so many of us, what we eat is what our parents ate. So, you know, if we're used to eating ginormous portions and a lot of simple, very processed foods, simple carbohydrates, then we'll probably grow into adults doing that. And those things do put us at higher risk of type 2. And especially if you are a family and your family has type 2 diabetes, you want to look at your children or your relatives and say, you know, there's a genetic component with type 2. And so if you can make the lifestyle changes earlier, you know, go out for a family bike ride or walk or try to avoid, you know, screen time, which I know is just hard with the kids, and eat, you know, more balanced meals, it will definitely help prevent.
Well, screen time's tough for most of us now.
Yes.
As I reach for my phone. So if we know the genetic components, let's say grandma had diabetes, all right, so then that's an alert.
Correct. And I would say, you know, make sure you're alerting your physician, your primary care provider, if you have any diabetes in your family history, even if it's an aunt or an uncle, you know, because there might be a genetic component or you might be at a little bit higher risk. But definitely parents, something, and that your provider will keep an eye on and draw your labs annually and make sure, you know, hopefully catch your elevated blood sugar in the pre-diabetes range, but where we don't use medications, as opposed to when you get to the diabetes where we do start seeing some medications.
Why are processed foods so bad?
They break down really quickly in our body and they don't keep us full. So we tend to eat a lot more of them. You know, I think like anything, if we do a small quantity of processed food, but we should probably get back into doing more whole grains, whole grain bread, whole grain pasta, fresh fruits and vegetables that take slower to digest in our body and help keep us fuller.
Is there something wrong culturally with when we tend to focus on 3 meals a day? Should we be doing smaller meals and, you know, 3 meals and a couple snacks?
If it sort of depends on what type of person you are. If you can eat a smaller meal and then have a snack and eat less calories with 6 meals a day, that would be great. Some people, though, every time they eat, the floodgates open and they eat large portions. So then those individuals, I would say, try to keep it to 3 meals a day. But ultimately, it's kind of eating moderate, small portions. So you kind of had to look at what type of person you are and which works best with your lifestyle.
Like most things, moderation is the key.
Exactly. And if you have a job where you have a 9 or 10 a.m. break, you know, coffee time, as we call, you know, you could have work that into kind of your day, but make sure it's something, you know, maybe you bring a vegetable and hummus or fresh fruit and peanut butter, something not running to the vending machines for, you know, bag of chips or a honey bun or donut. So, you know, trying to make smarter choices.
Anything else you'd like to share today? Something we might have missed?
I think the key is to just don't be scared of diabetes or pre-diabetes. You know, you can be in the driver's seat and you can make a lot of amazing changes, and it can not be, you know, the death sentence that some people feel like it is.
Thanks to Debbie Guild for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe. An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.